Thank you so much. Hey, welcome to Antioch, everyone. Welcome to those of you who call Antioch home. Those of you who are visiting with us today, thanks so much. We know there are like a lot of places you could be right now. So thanks so much for being here. And those who are watching online, including my father-in-law, my sister, thanks so much for joining us online. Before I forget, I want to go ahead and dismiss our kids to kids class. So your teachers are waiting. Kids, you can go ahead and go to your classes. Your lessons are ready for you. All right, so last week we started a new series called Choose Joy, walking through the book of Philippians. And if you weren't with us last week, we looked at how Philippians is actually a thank you letter that Paul wrote to his friends back in the town of Philippi, where he had started a church there about 10 or 11 years earlier. So today we're still in chapter 1. We'll be looking at verses 3 through 6 today. So that's where we'll be if you want to go ahead and make your way there. Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. So a couple of weeks ago, both of our kids, Livia and MJ, started their second season of track and field. And so in their in track and field, they do things like they do the 100-meter dash, 200-meter dash, long jump, high jump, shot put. And it's all designed to get kids moving and introduce them to different elements of the sport of track and field. And one of the things that's pretty cool to see when you go out to their practices and to their track meets is how many of the kids actually, like, encourage their teammates. They encourage them in their events. So you'll hear them shout things like, keep going, you're doing good, good job, way to go, don't give up, things like that. Or when a kid like doesn't do too well in an event, they may say something like, you know, hey, that's all right, don't worry about it, you gave your best, you'll do better next time. It's just really refreshing, and it's really cool to see the way these kids encourage each other at the track meet. And so that got me to thinking about the Christian life. And how, like, many times, in many ways, the Christian life is the same way. We're all on the same team, like Team Jesus. If you've placed your trust in Jesus, we're all on Team Jesus. And we need to encourage each other as we go throughout life, right? Like, we need to encourage each other. Here's the main point of today's message, everyone. Christians need other Christians. Like, We need encouragement from each other, and we need support from each other, and we need help from each other, and we need the prayers of each other. Christians need other Christians. Because here's what we all know. Life gets hard sometimes, right? Like, if you think about the analogy of a track meet, sometimes it feels like you constantly keep bumping into the hurdles or falling over the hurdles, right? Sometimes if you're running an event, it just feels like you're getting tired. Life gets hard sometimes. And yes, Jesus has given us himself, but he's also given us each other to help us along the way. So I've entitled today's message, Three Ways to Encourage Other Believers. Three Ways to Encourage Other Believers. And I think this is what we're going to see that Paul does today for his friends back in the city of Philippi. He encourages them and he builds them up. And my hope is that we can then use this portion of scripture today to see ways that we can then encourage our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And so with that, if you would please stand as you're able as we continue reading Paul's letter back to his friends in Philippi, verses 3 through 6. This is what it says. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Let me read verse 6 again. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. This is the encouraging word of the Lord. You may be seated. three ways to encourage other believers. Church, it is important, vitally important, to remember that every word that we will read from the book of Philippians is written by a man who was sitting in prison. So Paul's not like, he's not sitting under a shady tree, or he's not sitting on a beach on some island. He's sitting in a Roman jail. And despite that, he doesn't focus on himself. Like he's able to turn his mind off of what he's experiencing and onto his friends and let them know that he has been thinking about them. So I think this is what's so amazing. I think this is what's amazing about the way Paul starts off today in verse 3. Even though he's the one in jail, get this, even though he's the one sitting in jail, he still cares about them. And he shows concern for them. So before we even get to the three ways that we can encourage each other, I don't want us to rush past this. And I want to be clear about this as we begin today. The ability to show encouragement to each other does not come from ourselves. We by ourselves, on our own, we cannot be encouraging. In fact, it's the opposite. We can be critical of each other and judgmental of each other. And left to ourselves, we wouldn't be too nice to each other. Left to ourselves. So like, as we get started today, don't take today's message as some like self-help, how to be a better person, just try harder and you can do it, you got this, you can do it. No, everything that we're talking about today, get this, everything that we're going to talk about today, it cannot come from you. So the question is, who does it come from? Well, I think Paul is going to show us that. He's going to show us where it comes from, and it's this. The ability to give encouragement comes from Jesus. The ability to be an encouraging person comes from Jesus. In fact, the ability to do anything godly, you by yourself, me by myself, we cannot be godly by ourselves. There's no characteristic of God that you can show by yourself apart from God. It's only the Holy Spirit working inside of you. It's the Holy Spirit working inside of us. It's the Holy Spirit working inside of Paul. That's where it comes from. So when we talk about three ways to like encourage each other, this isn't three ways for you to do this. This is three ways to allow the Holy Spirit to do this through you. Does that make sense? Like this isn't just us trying to be a better person by being encouraging. No, this is us yielding to the Holy Spirit. And as we do this, we can like encourage each other. So notice what Paul does not do here. As we look at verse 3, he says, "I thank my God every time I remember you." Notice what Paul does not do. He doesn't start off complaining. He doesn't talk about how he wishes things were different in his life. He doesn't talk about how bad the smell is, how bad the food is, or things like that. He doesn't throw a pity party. He doesn't like invite them to feel sorry about him for his circumstances. What does he do? He says, "I thank God, my God, every time I remember you." So what is Paul showing us here? He's showing a level of spiritual maturity. And that, like just because things aren't ideal in his life, it doesn't stop him from thinking about others and the welfare of others. He trusts that God can still take care of him even while he's sitting in prison. What allowed him to have this outlook? It was Jesus. Jesus, like, working inside of him. And I have to admit, earlier this week when I read that, I was convicted when I studied this because, listen, like, without the Holy Spirit, it can be easy to do just the opposite. It can be easy to do the opposite of what Paul does here. And, like when things are not working out, it can be easy to make life all about me. And I can, like just focus on me and my problems and want to invite people into my pity party. Hey, come have a pity party with me. Look at how bad it's me. Look how bad things are going. Woe is me. Woe is me. Woe is me. And I can then, like miss opportunities to shine the light of Jesus and encourage my fellow believers or build others up because I'm so consumed with myself. I'm just thinking about myself. But if we can trust Jesus with our circumstances, especially when things are not going ideally, if you can trust Jesus then we can be like freed up to provide encouragement to others. And that shows a level of spiritual maturity. Like, I'm spiritually mature enough to not let what I'm going through stop me from being an encouragement to someone else. Why? Because I trust God, and I know that it's going to work out in the end. Remember, you can't do this on your own. On your own, we're going to complain every time something goes wrong. I think about this. I thought about how many times this week I complained about traffic. And if you think about, if traffic is what I complain about, then imagine when, really hard things come into my life. I'm just going to complain and complain and complain. But with Jesus, He's the one who allows us to be spiritually mature. And take when you're going through a difficult situation and say, I'm still not going to miss an opportunity to pour into the life of someone else. So Paul starts off, he says, I thank my God every time I remember you. Then look at the very next thing he tells them in verse 4. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. So Paul's been praying for them. And praying for each other is one of the best things we can do for each other. But I like what Paul does here. He takes it a step further. And he not only prays for them, but get this, he tells them that he prays for them. He tells them that he's been praying for them. He verbalizes it. He lets them know. He lets them know that they have been in his prayers. And by doing so, here we go. I think Paul gives us one of the first ways to build each other up. And this is going to sound simple, but I think it's important. And it's not just pray for others, but actually let people know when you pray for them. Let people know when you pray for them, to actually tell them. Why is this important? Because I think hearing that someone has prayed for us can encourage us and strengthen us. And it reminds us that we don't face battles alone. Hearing that reminds us of that. It reminds us that others care for us. It reminds us of the power of prayer. Think about this. I thought about that. Paul could have prayed for them, but not included that sentence in his letter. So, yeah, he could have been praying, but, left that sentence out. But he does. He puts it in there, I think, for that specific reason, because of how much it must have meant to them to receive Paul's letter and to read that he was praying for them. It would have, given them encouragement, and considering the fact that they were in Philippi and they were under all of this immense pressure to turn from Jesus and they were trying to stay strong, hearing that Paul was praying for them would have encouraged them. And Paul was the master at doing this. In his letters to other churches, I'm going to put this on the screen here. Look at what are some of the other letters that he says. He says, God, whom I serve in my spirit in preaching the gospel of his son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. That's from Romans. Then look what he says in Ephesians. I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. He's telling them. He's not just praying for them. He's telling them, I'm praying for you. Then look what he says in Colossians. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. So Paul made it a habit of not just praying for other believers, but letting him know that he was praying for them. He doesn't do this to brag or try to make himself look super spiritual, because he knew that other believers, he does this because they could be encouraged by hearing this. And I think we can take something from that, because, and you know this, there's something refreshing and encouraging when you hear that someone is praying for you. When you know that someone is covering you in their prayers. So I thought about this in my own life. There's been times when I was encouraged simply by hearing that someone was praying for me. So a little over a year ago, when I started here at Antioch, I got a message from Patrick that said, "Hey, brother, I'm praying for you." And that really encouraged me. I remembered getting that message from him, and that was like made my day. And then just a few days ago, I received a text message from a good friend of mine named John Christensen. He's the brother of James Christensen. He's the pastor of Grace E. Free in Fridley. Here's what his text message said. It was a couple days ago. "Praying for you this morning, brother. May the Lord bring you joy in him and encouragement this week to not grow weary in well-doing." I remember getting that at 8 a.m. Thursday morning. And just to know that he was praying for me, he could have prayed for me and not sent the message, but he sent the message. And just to know that he was praying for me, really encouraged me. And then, my wife prays for me all the time, and it's just super encouraging. And you know this. So I'm pretty sure that a lot of you in here, you have stories of when you were encouraged, when you heard that people prayed for you. And then think about it on the flip side. You letting someone know that you're praying for them, that can put wind in their spiritual sails and help them face another day or face another obstacle. And this isn't to make you feel good or to boast about how strong of a prayer warrior you are. It's to remind them that they're not alone. Like they're not alone in the battle. You can't solve whatever problem they're facing that day, but you sure can help by letting them know that you're praying for them. So listen, maybe someone today needs to hear that you're praying for them. They need to hear it. They need to hear it. And so I thought about this. I thought about, how could I encourage us in this area? So I thought about three specific groups of people. And chances are you know someone in one of these three groups. Parents with young kids. They need prayer. We need prayer. If you're a parent with a young kid, or if you know of a parent with a young kid, don't just pray for them, let them know. That can help change the trajectory of their day. They may be having a bad day, and them hearing that could help them. So parents with young kids. Someone dealing with a health issue. I remember when my dad was passing away of cancer. He told me, he said, the one thing that helped him the most when he was going through chemo was not the medicine of the doctors or the medical advice of the doctors. He said it was the prayers of his friends. That was the one thing that helped him the most. If you know someone going through a health issue today, let them know you're praying for them. Tell them. Call them, text them, something, let them know. And then someone dealing with a job issue. Maybe you know someone who's looking for a job, was struggling on their job, can't find a job, just lost their job. Let them know. So parents with young kids, someone dealing with a health issue or someone dealing with a job issue. So that's the first way. We tell others that we pray for them. And then notice what Paul says next. Because of your partnership in the gospel. And then look what he says. From the first day until now. From the first day until now. So keep in mind, it's been about 10 or 11 years since Paul started this church in Philippi. 10 or 11 years. And during this time, they faced challenges, and we're going to get to that later in this. It's they weren't the perfect church. They had things that they had to get over and conflict that they had to resolve. And we're going to see that later on in our series in a few weeks. But the church had also grown during those 10 years. They added their numbers and they were growing. They were growing in numbers. They were growing in their faith. And that growth was not by accident. It was because of the graciousness of Jesus, but it was also because of their consistent faithfulness to Jesus and their consistent faithfulness to others. Their consistent faithfulness to Jesus and their consistent faithfulness to others. They had helped Paul at the beginning when he first started this church, and now they were helping him again. So over time, he begins to see them as partners in the gospel. And he says this by telling them, look, from the first day until now. So what Paul is doing here is the second way that we can encourage other believers, and it's this: acknowledge consistent faithfulness. Acknowledge consistent faithfulness. Paul's pointing out that, like, they didn't do just one good deed. They've been consistently doing good deeds. And he does this not so that they can boast or brag in themselves about, yeah, we kept the church going and look how good we are, but so that they can be encouraged to keep doing it. So that they can be encouraged. And so when I read this, I thought, okay, like, through the power of Jesus, I think we can do the same for other believers. We can look at those in our church or in our family that have been consistently faithful. And you can, like, acknowledge that in them and encourage them with that so they can continue doing that. So how does this look for us to encourage in this aspect? I think it's more than just acknowledging what people consistently do. Hear me clearly on this. It's more than just acknowledging what people consistently do. We should acknowledge who people consistently are. It's more than just what they consistently do. It's who they consistently are. The traits that Jesus has given them that they are consistently showing. Remember, these aren't just like good things about them. These are godly things in them. So I thought about, maybe you can tell someone, hey, you are very wise. And you've seen that, and you could bring up ways where you've seen that consistently. Or you're very compassionate. I thought about the people in our church who like consistently show compassion. You're very caring. And I've thought about those in our church who over this past year, I've seen them be consistently caring, consistently discerning, consistently prayerful, consistently show hospitality, consistently show leadership. When they hear that, that could like encourage them. Paul tells them, you've been doing this from the first day until now. Keep doing it. That's why he calls them partners in the gospel. Because of what they consistently did, but also because of who they consistently are. And then, you know, I thought about this. The reason people can be consistently faithful? You know the reason you can be consistently faithful in any area of your life? It's because Jesus is consistently faithful. It's because he is consistently faithful. So I just want to take a moment. I want to encourage everyone today, whether it's in your parenting or your marriage, maybe it's you're taking care of a loved one, whatever it is, like, you can remain consistently faithful even during the difficult times, not because you're so strong, but because you serve the one who is consistently faithful. And that can encourage us. The strength to keep showing up every day does not come from you. It comes from Jesus. And that should encourage us. Amen? That encourages us. Like when life gets hard and you want to give up in some area, you can be consistently faithful. Not because you read like some self-help book or like you read 10 Steps to Being a Better Me. Oh, just keep showing. No. It comes from Jesus. And you can do it. You can show up every day in whatever season he has called you to because he is consistently faithful. Has anyone ever seen the consistent faithfulness of Jesus in their life? It is what helps us keep going. That was pretty weak. But I'm going to assume that you've all seen the consistent faithfulness of Jesus. So you hang in there. You keep showing up. From the first day until now. Consistent faithfulness. So we acknowledge people, we let people know we pray for them, then we acknowledge for their consistent faithfulness. And that leads us to our third and final way that we can encourage other believers, and that's this: remind them that Jesus is still at work in their lives. Remind people that Jesus is still at work in their lives. Look how Paul says it. I love this. This is so beautiful. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you, what is he going to do? Will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So Paul's reminding them that when each of them placed their trust in Jesus, Jesus began a good work in their lives. It's a process called sanctification. The process of becoming more and more like Jesus and less like ourselves, like our sinful selves. Now, I want to be clear. His work for them and his work for us, the work of Jesus for us, started when Jesus died on the cross for our sins. But his work in our lives began when we place faith in Jesus. And when that happens, he begins a good work. Amen. He begins a good work. That work of like molding us and molding them and to act like Jesus and to walk like Jesus and to talk like Jesus and to think like Jesus. That's the good work. So Paul's telling them, listen, Jesus isn't going to just like, he's not going to start this sanctification process in your life and then just stop. He's not going to just stop. He's not going to just leave them hanging. He's going to continue to do the work in their lives until it's complete, until the day of Christ Jesus, which is then when we will all experience what? Glorification. But until then, he's going to continue to work to make us more and more like him and less like the world. Why do we need this encouragement? Why is this important to keep in mind? Here's why. Because Jesus is doing a good work in our lives, but there's going to be days when it doesn't feel like it. There's going to be days when it doesn't feel like it. There's going to be days when we don't feel like we're growing or making progress. And sometimes, maybe even today, sometimes you may feel like, you know, in my spiritual life, like I take two steps forward and one step back, or three steps forward and then three steps back. And there's going to be seasons in life when we ask ourselves, okay, why do I still wrestle with this? Why do I still struggle with this? Why is this still an issue in my life? Sanctification is happening, church. Sanctification is happening, but we won't always be able to immediately see it. I remember when our daughter was born, we bought a crib for her, a beautiful wooden crib. And like it had these instructions, and I remember the crib had all these like wooden poles and they were different lengths, and you had to like put this one here, then you had to put this one here, and then you had to line them all up. And I remember all of these poles, but you know what else I remember about this crib? It had 7.3 million little screws that came with it. And I remember my wife and I, like, putting this crib together. And during that process, like, you had to do all of these little screws. And you had to put them here. And doing those screws took a long time. But when the crib was done, it was beautiful. But guess what? You couldn't see any of the screws. Now, the screws were important because it held the final product together. And while we were putting the screws in, we were going, oh man, another screw goes here and another screw goes here and another screw goes here. But when the crib was done, it was safe and enjoyable for our daughter. You couldn't see any screw, but you had to put them there. That is how God often works in our lives. He's working in those little areas behind the scenes. He's like screwing in little things here and little things there. And he's doing these little things behind the scenes that you won't always be able to see. But guess what? They are vitally important for your foundation. And you need those. We need those. Sanctification isn't always like some grand big thing that happens. Sometimes it is, but sometimes it's just a little screw. A tiny little screw here, a little screw there. Because if we didn't put the screws in correctly, the crib could have fallen apart. So we had to go through the process of the little screws. That's how Jesus often works. That's what sanctification often feels like. It's those little bitty things that Jesus is doing, is working in us. And it's building us. It's building us to be like him. But we don't always see it at the time. But he's working. Because if we're not careful, we can forget this and we can grow discouraged in this life because we feel like we're not making progress. I remember when we were putting that crib together, it felt like we're not getting anywhere in this. We're not buying another crib from IKEA ever again. Is that where we got it from? I don't remember where we got it from. Where we got it from, I was like, we're not making any progress. But we were through the little screws. We were. So if you, like today, if you're here and you feel like you're not making progress, you feel like you keep struggling in this area, in those times, here's what we do. Here's what we do, church. We encourage each other. And we remind each other that, like, through his grace, Jesus began a good work in us. And through his grace, he's going to complete it. So even if you can't feel it, even if you can't see it, the word tells us that Jesus is working in our lives. And I want to be so careful here. The fact that Jesus is working in our lives does not give us freedom to just go and, like, it doesn't give us a license to just go sin. We can't just, like, freely go and do whatever we want to do or live however we want to and then try to justify it by saying, it's okay, Jesus is doing a good work in my life and he started, he's going to complete it. Because the truth is sometimes, hear me on this, sometimes repentance from sin is also a good work. Like, that's a good work. So we can't just say, oh, I'm going to go and do this thing that I want to do because I know that Jesus is working in my life. No. Like, his grace and sanctification isn't a license for sin. But it does mean this. When we feel incomplete or when we mess up, we can be encouraged in the grace of God that he doesn't give up on us. And he's still working in our lives. And then what does this do? Like, knowing that Jesus has started a good work in your life and that he's going to complete the good work in your life, what does that do? It then, like, frees us up from the comparison trap. It frees us up from feeling the need to compare ourselves to other people. When you remember that God is doing a good work in your life, like, he hasn't forgotten about you, he hasn't abandoned you, and that he's going to complete it, you no longer need to, like, look around at other people and say, oh, they look so spiritual and they look so good. They look so on fire for Jesus and all this stuff. I wish I was like that and all this. No, Jesus is working in your life as well. So you don't have to compare yourself to other people because just like he's working in their life, he's working in your life. And you can focus on what he's doing in your life and be encouraged by knowing it's going to be completed. So maybe that's you today. And maybe for whatever reason, you feel like Jesus has stopped working in your life. Let me encourage you, keep trusting him. He started and he's going to complete it. He will. He will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Or maybe it's not you, but maybe you know of someone, a family member, a friend, who's sort of like they're kind of like stuck in life. They're stuck in a rut, or they've given up, or they've kind of like stopped pressing into Jesus. Maybe they started off on fire for Jesus and they were on fire and they were like submitting and yielding to the Holy Spirit and things, but along the way, for whatever reason, like life happened to them. Life happened to them. And they no longer have this zeal or this fire for Jesus that they once had. Here's what we can do through the power of the Holy Spirit. You can remind them that Jesus began something in them and he's going to complete it. He began something and he's going to complete it. I think all of us in here, No matter how long you've been following Jesus, at some point, you're going to face discouragement. And you're going to need to be reminded of the finished work of Jesus on the cross and the good work that he is going to do in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
And then I also thought about this. You know who else can be encouraged by this? Our church. Antioch Community Church. Like, God started a good work in Antioch Community Church. When he started this church, he started a good work in our church. And you know what? He's going to complete it. Like, he's not just going to, like, start his church and then just, like, abandon us or leave us. So in our church, here, right now, he's doing a good thing, even if we may not always see it. He's working in our lives. He's working in our ministries. He's working in our community for his glory. So I want to encourage us, as the pastor of our church, God has us. He has our church. And as we continue to submit to him, he's going to, like, do things through this church. He's not going to just start the church in 2008 and then say, oh, in 2026, I'm done with them. No. Like, God is good, and he's faithful, and he wants to use you and I and all of us in here for the kingdom and for the glory of God. So don't get discouraged. Don't grow weary in doing good. He has our church, and he's working, and he will continue to work until the day Christ comes. Amen? Thank you. So, I'll put this on the screen here. Three ways to encourage other believers. Let people know when you pray for them. Like, tell them. Pray for them, then tell them. Let them know, because that can encourage them. Number two, acknowledge consistent faithfulness. Like, who do you know that's been showing, not just what they do, but who they are? Who's been consistently faithful? And then you should tell them that so that they can continue doing it. And then number three, remind them that Jesus is still working in their lives. Like, he's not going to just abandon us. He's not going to leave us. Amen? Oh, so, Father, we thank you that we don't have to do the Christian life on our own or in our own strength. We thank you that you have given us yourself, Jesus. And through that, we have joy. Through that, we can choose joy. But we also thank you that you have given us each other to encourage and uplift and challenge each other. Help us to remember that we have other brothers and sisters, Jesus. Sometimes it does feel like we're running on a track and we're tired. But then when we can hear and feel the prayers and the encouragement of each other, that can keep us going. Bring into our lives someone that needs to hear that we have prayed for them. Not so that we can boast in how prayerful we are, but so that they can be encouraged. Jesus, help us to acknowledge the consistent faithfulness of others. Help us to be consistently faithful because you are consistently faithful, Jesus. And then thank you that you're continuing to do a good work in our lives. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.